Please turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. Just a very short reading, but an important reading. So we're coming today to the end of our series we've been doing in these early chapters of Genesis. And today we're looking at Sabbath, rest, and restoration. So Genesis, in fact, let's begin at verse 31 of chapter 1, verse 31. Of chapter 1. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creation and creating that he had done. And may God add his blessing to his word today. I want us today to consider this idea of Sabbath and Sabbath rest. And what we've been doing in this series is been exploring what it is to be human. And I want to thank you, actually, for all the positive feedback I've had on this series. And I know folks have found it very helpful. So thank you for that. But as we conclude and think what it is to be a human being, perhaps many of us wouldn't have thought, well, actually, part of the uniqueness of being a human being is this idea of Sabbath or of rest. But hopefully by the end of this morning, you will get this very central idea, this biblical worldview that says Sabbath is actually very important to us as human beings. Through this series in Genesis 1 to 3, we've been looking at a matrix or a grid of how we understand the world and how it works and how we work in it and our place in it. And so just as a reminder, we've seen four main points in terms of this grid. First of all, human beings are made in the image of God. We are created with the capacity to have a relationship with God. Second thing we've seen is that human beings are made for relationship with each other. Thirdly, we've seen that human beings are made to have a relationship with the earth and the rest of creation, to have dominion over the earth, to subdue it, to care for it, and to respect it. And a couple of weeks ago, we teased that out a little bit as to what that looks like. And you'll see in all three of those that this idea of relationship is very key, and that's what I've tried to emphasize in this series. It's about relationship with God, relationship with each other, and relationship with the earth on which we live. But the fourth and final thing that we find, and we haven't really developed Genesis chapter 3, but in there, in this matrix, in this grid, is that all of these relationships are broken. Human beings are broken. We're not perfect. And each of the above relationships are impacted by our fallenness. And it's only in understanding that grid and in understanding all four of those, I think we can understand the world in which we live in, and how we relate to one another, and what needs, in a sense, to happen to restore that, and we'll come to that later. The idea of Sabbath, as we have it in the Bible, I would argue helps each of these to function. The whole idea of Sabbath is a huge one in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it runs all the way through, from beginning to end. This idea of Sabbath, obviously, it changes for people because the Sabbath, if you like, for the Jews continues to be the seventh day. The Muslims have a special importance to the sixth day, the Friday. And then, of course, Christians have changed it to the Sunday, the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, the day when the Lord rose from the grave. But this idea of Sabbath, I think, is unique to human beings. You don't see cows or sheep taking a day off. You don't see fish stopping swimming or trees stop growing. But in the scriptures, this idea of Sabbath is teased out quite a bit through the scriptures. We get it sort of hinted at and an implication here in chapter 2, where it talks about God resting from all that he was doing. And then it says, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. This Sabbath idea comes from the word ceased or rested. Now, at this stage, it does not say that Adam and Eve rested on the seventh day. The implication is there, but it's not actually said. But what we find that what is in seed form here, the implication of God resting and of human beings resting, is then explored and developed as we get into Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the rest of Scripture. And we find in the Ten Commandments specifically that this is developed, this idea of rest and what that means. This emphasis on God resting is actually more for our benefit than it is for God's benefit. God doesn't need to rest every seventh day. God does not grow tired. God does not sleep. God does not need to take a day off. Colossians 1 reminds us that in him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all things hold together, and he is constantly holding everything together. All of life is within. He, in a sense, daren't take a day off because the whole thing could just unravel. But no, he holds it together. He didn't, like the deist view of God, kind of make the God kick it into space and say, right, you're on your own. That's not what happened. He constantly cares for it, is overseeing it, and is holding it together. So this is a creative rest that Moses, who we believe was writing Genesis, that Moses speaks of here, a creative rest. In Genesis 1 and 2, we find the number 7 keeps reoccurring, because the number 7 is the number of perfection. And so we have 7 goods. It is good, 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 and then it is very good. And that's not accidental. That is meant to make a theological point that there is perfection here, and God sees this perfect creation. He sees this idea of goodness, and he rests in that. He delights in that. It is Sabbath, a Sabbath rest of creative delight. All is well in the garden. This idea of Sabbath is the culmination of what God has done in the garden. But this culmination is something that God invites us into. And I want us to get this idea. As Jesus said later in the Gospels, Sabbath is made for man. It is made for our good. It is integral. It is part of the uniqueness of being a human being, is that we have this inbuilt sense of Sabbath, a rhythm of 6 days' work and one day off. And this reflects the glory of God and reflects back to him, the one who has created. And in this Sabbath, in this day of rest, in this rhythm of 6 days and one, 6 days and one, we rest. But we not only rest, we also worship. It is a day for resting and a day for worshiping. And we see this idea developing in the Old Testament. From the Ten Commandments on, we see this idea of the rest, but not only the rest, but also the time and the space to have focused worship where God's people gathered together. And today, those two elements are very strongly still there. The Sabbath idea of rest and worship together. And what I want us to do as we reflect on this idea of Sabbath is to get the really big picture, which maybe doesn't come to us immediately, but the really big picture of what's going on here. I want us to think of a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. I want to draw something here. I know how much you love it when I draw. Isaiah 66:1 says that God is on his throne, and the heavens are where his throne room is. So God is on his throne. But then as we think of the cosmos, we've got all these millions and billions of planets and stars all over the place. I'm not going to draw stars. It would take too long, and I'm not very good at my stars. But you've got all this going on, and you've got galaxies swirling about. And according to scientists in the from their Hubble telescope, apparently they've calculated there's at least 100 billion galaxies. Okay. Now, within that 100 billion galaxies, and that's hard to get your mind around. Within that 100 billion galaxies, one galaxy is called the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, so we're in the Milky Way galaxy. Out of these 100 billion galaxies. And within the Milky Way galaxy, of course, there's the solar system. Brian Cox, eat your heart out, you know. So let's imagine we've got the Milky Way going on down here, okay? And within the Milky Way, we've got obviously the sun, hence solar system. And we've got seven or eight planets, and we've a couple of dwarf planets like Pluto, but we've got seven or eight planets, which you all know about, Neptune, Saturn, and so on. But one of those is the Earth, okay? So we've got the Earth down here. So when you imagine God's up here in the heavenlies, in the throne, and we have hundreds of billions of galaxies in the cosmos, or the universe. And right down here, we've got the Milky Way, which is one of those, and we've got the Earth. And Isaiah 66:1 says that God is on his throne and that the earth is his footstool. The earth is his footstool. Now, I don't know if you've got a footstool at home. I have a footstool, and you just put your feet on it. So Isaiah the prophet is saying to us, in the cosmos, God is reigning in the heavens above. He's reigning over the universe. He has in that billions and billions of galaxies created the Milky Way galaxy. Within the Milky Way galaxy, he has created a solar system and these planets around the sun. And as one of those planets, he has created Earth, and that is his footstool on which his feet rest. And so in this idea of Genesis, what is actually going on here is that Genesis is giving us the idea that the whole of the cosmos is his temple. The whole of the cosmos is God's temple, and the earth is his footstool. God is on the throne. He is in heaven. He is on the throne. And he says, there is no temple, there is no building, there's no church, there's no nothing that you can build actually which can hold me, because I am so awesome, I am so almighty, I am outside and beyond your imagination. Now, obviously, we know a lot more about space and the billions of galaxies than the writers did of Genesis. But God, in his wisdom, has revealed his glory to us. And in Genesis, he's inviting people to enter into his rest, to enter into his temple, which is the cosmos, and there to celebrate Sabbath, the Sabbath rest. John Walton, and this quote says, God's Sabbath, his resting, is not a withdrawal from the world and its operations. It's not him saying, my work is done, it's all yours now, good luck. Instead, it represents him taking his place at the helm of the universe. This is what Israel's observance of the Sabbath gives recognition to. This is the big, 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 big picture of what is going on really in the earth. The earth is only part of a small part, a speck in the cosmos. And yet God has decided that he will create human beings, he will set his love upon human beings, that they are unique in all of creation. In Leviticus 19 and 30, he says, observe my Sabbaths, have reverence for my sanctuary. In Leviticus, the sanctuary wasn't built yet. What's the sanctuary? The sanctuary is the whole cosmos. All the billions of stars and planets with the earth as his footstool, that's his sanctuary. And whenever he invites Adam and Eve into paradise, into the Garden of Eden, and whenever he talks to them about this Sabbath idea, it's so that they will celebrate that God is the king of the cosmos, that he is at the helm. And Sabbath is about us resting from our labors. It's about us taking time to worship God. But above all, it's about acknowledging that he is on the throne. And that is what it means to be human. And this is why the idea of Sabbath And why God in his scriptures quite often says, you must delight in my Sabbath, because what we're doing is we are acknowledging this awesome truth that God is on the throne, that he is at the helm. And so God encourages us to follow this rhythm of 6 days work, one day rest, for rest and restoration and worship. Ultimately, Sabbath is a reminder that life in the world is not all about me. It's about God and how we fit into his big picture. Every time we observe Sabbath, we are glorifying God as well as giving rest and healing to our bodies. It is interesting, is it not, that Jesus did so much healing on the Sabbath? Perhaps apart from annoying the Pharisees, he was making a much wider spiritual and theological point, that it's as we enter into Sabbath that we are truly healed and restored and refreshed, and we know the shalom of God, the peace of God that passes understanding. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the seventh day has changed for Christians. We now celebrate the first day of the week as Sabbath because we celebrate the day of the Lord's resurrection. And we see from the New Testament that the believers chose as their day to gather for corporate worship as the Sunday, as the first day of the week. And things for a while start to get a bit muddied because the two elements of Sabbath that we've seen, the element of rest, resting from your work, and the element of worship, gathering together corporately, they were kind of together for the Jews. But in the Roman Empire and in the days of the Christians, as the Christians began to worship on the first day, it began to separate a little bit. So you've got them gathering early on the first day of the week for worship, and then they go off to work. So there becomes a separation for a while of these two ideas. The Jewish idea of Sabbath as rest and worship, they start to become separated. And then later on, from the 4th century AD onwards, we find the Roman Empire begin to adopt the values of Christianity. And they begin to adopt the idea of resting in the same day as you're worshiping. And so we get this idea of them coming back together again. And it's ideal for us whenever we have the two aligned, that you've got the day of rest and the day of worship together, because that helps us. It gives us more time to worship. And that's a good thing. But we shouldn't get too uptight around around rules on Sabbath, because the important idea is that we have one day in seven in which we rest, one day in seven in which we gather for corporate worship. Ideally, it's wonderful when they work together. John Walton, in his commentary on Genesis, seeks to answer this question: is the Sabbath a law that we Christians have to keep? Thanks, David, if you put that next one on. And the answer is that if we have to be reminded, commanded, or coerced to observe it, it ceases to serve its function. The Sabbath is not the sort of thing that should have to be regulated by rules. It's the way we acknowledge that God is on his throne, that this world is his world, that our time is a gift to us. It's big picture time. The big picture is not me or my family or my country or my world or even the history of my world. No, the big picture is God, because we've already seen that our world is actually quite small. It's a speck of dust in billions of galaxies. So as we observe Sabbath, we're declaring that God is to be worshipped, that God has made all of this, that God is on his throne. And so as we do that, as we celebrate Sabbath, we become more human. It is the way we are designated and designed to operate. You can work for 10 days in a row, but it's not advisable. You need that rhythm of 6 days and one day, 6 days and one day. The rabbis talk about the principle of first mention in the Bible. When a significant word is first mentioned in the Bible, you should perk up and think, oh, that's the first mention of that very significant word. And in Genesis, the significant word is holy. What is the first mention in the Bible of the word holy? It's about a day. God declares this day holy. He separates it off. He blesses it. And he says, this is a principle that should be observed. You should have a holy day each week. And in that holy day, you rest from your work. In that holy day, you worship me as the creator of all that you see and all that you cannot see. And you recognize that God is on the throne. And you see, this is why the Sabbath idea is so important, and why as Christians we should not neglect it. In the book of Hebrews, it says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And by this it means that as we entrust our lives to Jesus and the work that he did on the cross, he did the work, and then he rested. And he invites us to trust in his work of salvation and then to rest. We enter into God's delight. We enter into worshiping God. We enter into giving God the glory that he deserves. When we disobey God, when we revel in our brokenness, and when we move away from God's rest, from God's Sabbath, when we think we can do it in our own strength, when we think that we can keep going, then God says, you can't. God's will is that we move towards him, that we receive the salvation he offers through Jesus, and we enter into his rest. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and thought that they knew better than him, they were banished from the garden. But in Jesus Christ, the second Adam, we have the one who obeys and starts us to draw us back again to the garden, to paradise. So for the final time, let's look at our grid or our matrix. Firstly, human beings are made in the image of God, created with a capacity to have a relationship with him. Human beings are made for relationship with each other. Human beings are made to have a relationship with the earth and the rest of creation, to have dominion over the earth, to subdue it, to care for it, to respect it. Fourthly, human beings are broken. We are not perfect, and each of the above relationships are impacted by our fallenness. But then fifthly, and most importantly, Jesus has come as the perfect human being. He's come as the second Adam. He's come as the one who is Lord of the Sabbath, and he's the redeemer of each of these relationships. So to be human is to be broken. Broken spiritually towards God, broken sexually and socially to each other, broken even as stewards of the earth. Not one person in this room is perfect. We are all broken. And we don't just need rest, we need restoration. The restoration of Sabbath. The Sabbath of God. The Sabbath of wholeness and perfection. On this side of the new heaven and earth, we will not be perfect. But in Jesus Christ, there is restoration. The brokenness is healed in him. I recently heard about the wonderful Japanese art of kintsugi, K-I-N-T. S-U-G-I. It involves taking broken pottery or ceramics, and what the Japanese do is they put in a gold lacquer, a glue mixed in with gold, and it glues the pieces together, but it also provides a beautiful aesthetic finish. And it reminds me of that verse where Paul says, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more. That God loves to take something that is broken and make something beautiful out of it. This morning, perhaps you feel broken. Broken in relationship with God, broken in relationship with others, broken in relationship with this earth. Today, Jesus comes to pour in the oil of the Holy Spirit. The oil of healing, the oil of forgiveness, the oil of salvation. The oil of rest and the oil of restoration. Earlier, we had it quoted, I think. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and broken and sad and discouraged and sinful. And I will give you rest. I will give you Sabbath. I will give you wholeness. I will give you shalom. I will give you peace. Paul says to those in the Corinthian church who were broken relationally and sexually, that is what some of you were, but now your sins have been washed away and you've been set apart, holy, made holy for God. You've been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God have done for you. So as we end this series on what it is to be a human being, can I invite you into a better way of being human? Indeed, the best way, the way which God has designed us to live, into his Sabbath, in love for him, in love for others. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, come unto me. I have come that they might have life, and life in all its fullness and in all its abundance. Jesus is the perfect human being, and we are called to follow him and to enter into the perfect Sabbath rest of God. Come to him. As we come to our closing worship, we're going to sing this lovely song about coming to the altar, about coming to Jesus, about giving our life afresh to him. We're going to sing this through, and then after that, I'm going to allow a bit of time for us to reflect on that truth, and even for folks who want to be prayed for, to be prayed with. So as we come, let's pray first of all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in all the billions of the galaxies that you have made, you have created the solar system within that, you have created Earth within that, you have created us. We're such a small speck, and yet you've set your love upon us. And you've set your love upon human beings as the apex of the created order on Earth. And your love is set upon us. You've chosen us for yourself. We pray today as we reflect on Sabbath, we'll see just how important this idea is. As human beings, we're called to Sabbath because it's a reflection of much wider truths. So help us today to come to you, to come and rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.